This Much We Know is a podcast offering an honest and informative perspective of the realities and motivations of setting up a social enterprise. We will be joined by a number of charity leaders and social entrepreneurs whose trading models work to end homelessness. We will be sharing their stories, tips, and of course their facepalm moments. Homeless Link is the national membership charity for organisations working directly with people who become homeless in England. We work to make services better and campaign for policy change that will help end homelessness. Homeless Link members get access to benefits that support you to build and develop your organisation and ensure your voice and experience is heard at a national, regional and local level. To find out more about Homeless Link membership for your organisation, visit homeless.org.uk/join.
Welcome to another episode of This Much We Know, the podcast looking at social enterprise and the homeless sector. We're really pleased to have Michael from Barons Court join us today. Michael, I think it's probably safer if you do your own introduction and let the listeners know a little bit about the project and your enterprise.
Well, great. Thank you for having me on the podcast. So, yeah, my name's Michael Angus, and I'm director of Barons Court Project, which is the only day centre in Hammersmith and Fulham for people who are homeless, nearly homeless, and people living with mental health conditions. The project has been going for 38 years, and over that time, we've served thousands of people. So it's a key project in the borough to enable people to come off the streets.
Brilliant. And then what about your enterprise, your social enterprise? What does that do?
So the social enterprise, we started to look at that prior to COVID, and we were hoping to rent out spaces in the project to community groups and other organisations, because we were gifted our building by the council, and we want to make that asset work. Sadly, COVID came along and stopped at that because everyone went home and hid, and no one wanted to rent any space. So we came up with an alternative, which is called Homeless Made. And it is where we've taken our very talented guests' artwork and turned that into products. So we sell cards, tote bags, T-shirts, socks. We've had a range of different things that is all their art, which we then have turned into these amazing, wonderful products to sell, to raise money for the artists and to raise money for Barons Court Project. The artists get 50% of the profit, and we use the other 50% to make us more sustainable, and so we can help more people off the streets.
Fantastic. And when did you start? When did Homeless Made start trading?
So we started in 2020. So I think it was a lockdown project. So it was basically I had a little bit of time because most of our sleepers were in hotels and noticed how good our artists' work was and said, shall we have a go? I lived in South Africa many years ago and used to shop at what's called home industry shops, which are very common across South Africa, knowing that someone who'd made the cake that I ate or had made a card or jam or whatever got a percentage of the sale price. And that was, thinking back to that, was why I thought we could do something similar using the art from our guests. So we started in the summer of the first lockdown, and we made some mistakes, but we might come to that. But that's where it evolved from, and we'll hear more about the journey of to where we are now.
Amazing. A lockdown business is always fascinated when I hear people talk about a business they started during lockdown, because it's just one of the probably the most unique time in history to start a business in our era anyway.
Yeah, and I mean, it worked really well for us. The point of it was that I'd been speaking to the artists, or the then two artists, there's now six, and asking them how they were. And they were very isolated. They were very demoralized by being stuck with nowhere to go, no sense of community, no sense of purpose. And I was working at the centre throughout and just said, look, if you want to come, if you're willing to take the risk, I'm willing to take the risk. I can have the top floor. Builders are in the basement. You can have the middle floor and you can paint. And so they did. And I say, having a bit of time, I was able to see how talented they are. And that's where the idea came from. I mean, it worked great for us. We love lockdowns because when the shops were shut and you couldn't go and buy your card at Paper Chase or anywhere else, we were selling cards to across the country. So we were sending out parcels. But I don't think any of us want to go back to another lockdown, although we could do with those sales.
On that subject, how are you getting on now then that we're out of that and normal life is returned?
So the number of online sales has gone down, apart from the period in the run-up to Christmas when we were sending out lots of parcels of Christmas cards and other things. But we've adapted how we trade. So we're doing a lot more in terms of stalls, and they go really well. Pop-ups in businesses and in office blocks, as well as exhibitions and where we've tagged on sales through exhibiting art in corporates. And we're about to have one in a hotel near Tower Bridge and so on. So we've adapted it. So it's easier in a sense because we're not sending out multiple packages every day. And we've also had some success in getting into shops. So we have a wholesale package, and we're in Chelsea Physic Garden, a shop in Hammersmith, and we've had some of the shops and retailers that have taken our cards too. And we've a whole strategy on how we're going to make that work, because I think Homeless Made should be in every county across the UK, and it will be one day.
Fascinating model, isn't it? Because within the homeless community, all the homeless organisations I've worked with, yeah, they are always quite creative and artistic, and there's loads of talented people that for whatever reason end up, you know, within homeless services. So have you found that, has it been an easy process to turn that into a product and a social enterprise? Has that been an easy process, or how have you found it?
I think we've learned a lot as we've gone along. So the classic mistake right at the very beginning was our first batch of cards were too big. They were oversized, and it would take someone writing it about an hour to fill the card space because it was so big. And we ordered navy blue envelopes, which seemed really classy and very, very elegant, until you get a blue biro to write the address of where you're going to send it on and you can't see it. So, you know, there were some mistakes, and there's some learning as we've gone along. And what's been lovely is the whole community who've found out about it have offered to help us. So right from the word go, we had help from Good Humans, who did all our branding. We were able to pay them a little bit, but thanks to the Homeless Link grant. But I know they spent a whole lot more time and energy on that project than we actually covered in terms of their costs. And they came up with the name, which we think is really great, because it's the play on the words homemade and homeless made. And people have contributed in many ways. So we were able to have a stand at Top Draw, which is a high-end exhibition at Olympia Exhibition Centre, where they're charity. So we were able to negotiate a very good deal on that. And there was a whole three or four lanes of card sellers, retailers selling cards, or wholesalers. And they came and they looked, and people were saying, well, this style isn't for us, but we love the concept. And those that were exhibiting came and said, where are you getting them printed? And you're probably getting a bad deal, and gave us much better printers to use. And the quality is better. They don't curl anymore, which is all to do with the fold and not the weight of card. So we've learnt these kind of technicalities of an industry that I knew nothing about as we've gone along.
Yeah, it's really nice to see, having, you know, sort of being involved in your story, Michael, from sort of the early days of deciding what to do and seeing where you've got to now. It's been wonderful to watch. Thinking about sort of, I guess, the enterprise and the impact that it can make within Barons Court, sort of a day in the life at Barons Court, how does the social enterprise bring impact in as well?
I mean, people often ask me about, well, what does your job involve? What do you actually do? And I say to them a more useful question, I think, would be, what are we actually for? What's our purpose? And so, you know, when we think about that, what is Barons Court Project for? We want to enable all our guests to live the life that they deserve and live life to the full. And I think, you know, our social enterprise, whatever we do with that, has to tick that box. It has to be about bringing new life, and it has to be about bringing a better life for those involved or those who are using our products or anything else. So that's our starting point. And I think, you know, we've managed to achieve some of that with the unintended consequences of what we've done. So early on in the pandemic, when we were sending out all those parcels to people, I know it was a way of people staying in contact with their family when they couldn't see them. And it was a nice way of doing it, as well as feeling that they were making a difference, or, you know, helping us establish a brand new social enterprise. And it just feels like that it's the right thing to have done. It was accidental. It was never our intention to set up a card business or arts project. That wasn't where we were thinking when we first came to Homeless Made for the grant to look at social enterprise. But it feels like it's been a natural progression, using the talent and gifts that our artists have, and then using our talent and gifts within the team to enable it to take off and fly. And we can see a vision, we've got a vision of where it will go over the next 6 months, year, 2 years, 3 years. And I think it will, because every time we do something, then there's a spin-off and people get involved and more people want to help us or say, we'll do this for you and so on. So it just seems to work. In terms of some of the impact, I mean, I think the nice thing is we reach a lot more people now who know about Barron's Court Project and Homeless Made. So, you know, we've sold cards across the UK, Europe, although Brexit's got a little bit in the way with packaging cards to there, Canada, the USA, and people do email us and say, can you tell us more about your work or what you do or what we're for? So that's been a nice thing to be able to tell people our story. Obviously, the trading itself brings income. It's not perhaps huge volumes of income, because a card is £3.50. So you've got to sell a lot of cards to make a huge, you know, sales figures. But what's been really lovely is when we've had people who've supported us because of what we're doing. So we did a card stall in Omicron when everyone was back at home hiding again. And it was terrible. My team came back and they said, what a waste of time. Why are we having to do this? The stall made £37. Complete and utter nonsense. We're not doing it again. £37 in our bank account that we didn't have. But 3 months later, just before the end of March in that year, or the new financial year, a company that were based in the office block where we'd held that stall got in contact. And they said, we're an energy company. We give some money each year to charities in Hammersmith and Fulham. We found out about you through your Homeless Made stall in our office block. Can we give you £15,000? And I went, yes, please.
That's 15,000 and 37 quid, that is.
Exactly. And that's happened more than once. So, you know, in terms of what we've brought in grant funding or personal donations from people who have said, we'll sponsor your next card run and print so that you're making pure profit, we've brought in over £51,000 to the project through not selling, trading, but through people offering money to enable us to do more.
I think that's really interesting. I think one of the sort of, from a funding perspective, one of the things that we hear quite a lot is that actually telling funders about sort of trading activities and earned income as part of what you do has been quite advantageous. So actually the kind of secondary impacts of trading has been bigger than the primary income. Yeah, interesting one. And yeah, great to hear sort of those stories. I'm sure that'll be encouraging to listeners who are feeling, you know, defeated as they start out. It's a long journey.
For us, the trading is important because we want to become more sustainable. I want to get to the point where I can go to the council and say, hey, that grant you give us, we don't need it this year. Give it to someone else. That's my kind of vision and dream, so that they can use their money to help other people. But there's also the other things that are really important. And that's been the confidence of the artists. So right from the word go, they were saying, no, this will never work. No one will buy our art. It's not good enough. And they actually made a deal with me where they said, okay, we'll let you do it on one condition. And that is, if that order of cards doesn't sell, they said, Michael, you've got to pay back the money to Barron's Court Project that we've lost so that the charity doesn't lose a penny. Now, I was quite prepared to take that risk because I knew that the cards would sell. But through this whole process, it's been just incredible to see how they've grown in confidence, to be out trading with the public, to being on radio shows, television, writing for printed media, doing interviews, hosts coming to the art exhibitions and engaging with 50 people in a room in a corporate environment. It's been an absolute joy to witness all of that. And I think Guan, who's one of our artists, he is incredible. He's self-taught. He became homeless after the crash in 2010, lost his job. And at the same time, his father died in Malaysia. And he didn't have the money to go home for the funeral. And that had a huge impact on his mental well-being. So he ended up living on the streets and then ended up in a crisis house with severe mental health conditions and very, very low. And it was there that someone gave him a paint pot, some brushes and some paper and said, try painting. And he painted in dark colours, brown, black, mood low, and expressed himself in that way. And then through the winter, he started going out each to the park, and spring arrived and he noticed the cherry blossom and he started to use colour and it lifted his spirit. So his signature now is what he calls the tree of life, what we call our rainbow tree. And there are many iterations, there are many versions. We've now got 4 versions of a rainbow tree in a card because they all sell so well. We've got T-shirts, we've got tote bags. But what's really lovely is, as he's developed in his confidence, he now leads 2 art classes a week at the centre for other people who are living with mental health conditions, who have no confidence in themselves, who've been told all their lives, you're useless, you're a waste of space. And he's drawing out, sharing his talent to draw out their talent. And we're now seeing 12 people who could become emerging artists within the project as well, because their talent is just incredible.
Wow. That makes it all worthwhile, doesn't it, when something like that happens or starts to happen?
The other thing that's really important is the conversations we've been able to have with people because of this. So I was looking earlier and the former US president, Lyndon Johnson's wife, who is called Lady Bird Johnson. I love that, Lady Bird Johnson. And she said, art is the window into a man's soul. Without it, he would never be able to see beyond his immediate world. Nor could the world see the man within. I'm sorry about the masculine language. But that the point is that through Homeless Made, we're offering an opportunity for our artists to see into a new world, a new beginning. And at the same time, hopefully changing the public's perceptions and preconceived ideas about people who are homeless. We know that one of the main struggles for people living on the streets is a feeling that they're invisible. The world just walks past them, looking down on them, and carries on and walks on by. So the beauty of Homeless Made is that it's actually become a tool to have conversations about homelessness, so that the art is the starting point, but it gives people permission to communicate in a way that they wouldn't have had a conversation before. And when they're talking and looking at the art and not maintaining eye contact, then they're freer to have an honest conversation, and it frees them up and the artists. And we found that that's been a beautiful way into having meaningful conversations about the issue.
Art is such a powerful medium, isn't it, that we underestimate, because we tend to go, oh, that would never make any money. But I think what you've just highlighted to me is, yeah, it makes money, but also it creates incredible impact for the people that are involved in it. It changes lives, doesn't it, which is just fascinating, isn't it? What have been some of the really difficult bits, Michael? You mentioned earlier about sort of learning about, you know, the type, even basics like what sort of card to use and how to fold them so that they're more sellable and what have you. Have there been other more sort of difficult times and challenges that you've had to deal with?
So
oh, he laughs. Oh, this is going to be good.
We'd managed to blag our stand at Top Draw. You know, that's a high-end exhibition of people trying to get their products into retailers. And so we'd planned it all, we'd worked it all, we'd ordered shelving units and so on. And we got to Olympia on a Friday afternoon, and it had to all be done on that Friday afternoon or the Saturday morning. And our shelves wouldn't stick on the wall because they just didn't work. They fell off. Every time we put them on, it just fell off. And we spent 5.5 hours with Olympia staff building and putting shelves on the wall. And then we laid all the cards out. And me being a bit of a perfectionist, so I'm not happy with this, I'm going back Saturday morning just to check everything before we start on Sunday. When I got back on the Saturday morning, all the cards had curled. because the folding wasn't right, it wasn't done properly, and they looked terrible. And there was a point where I just thought, I'm taking them down, I'm smashing the bar stand, and we're not coming back. I'm not coming back tomorrow, because everyone else's looked amazing and ours didn't. But then I pulled myself together and I came back to the project, and we got the Celio bags, and we went back, and so we put them in the clear plastic bags so that no one could see that they curled, and it was fine. So, you know, we got through that hurdle. I think one of the other hurdles we've had is working with some of the artists. It's been more challenging than we'd necessarily anticipated. We're used to people being challenging, but you know, it's trying to get that, where you're trying to run something professionally, to shift people's ways of behavior. So I remember we'd had the immediate media art exhibition and event, and there was a bar that, you know, they were doing a free bar and canapes for everyone who was there. And then it got to the close, and I found one of the artists nicking all the bottles of wine and beer from the bar and putting them in their trolley to take home. And just, I said, that's not quite what we do. You know, you can have a drink here, but you can't just take it all home, because that belongs to the company. But I also have to remember to stand in their shoes and to understand where they are at in their journey and their personal journey, because what's in my head might not be their experience. So it's trying to remember those things and to see it from their point of view as well.
Mm. I want to talk a bit about concept of cherry picking. You know, when we see enterprises who are working with people, particularly in an organisation like this, where it's art, you know, and the artists that you've been working with are brilliant. You know, if you can, please do, everyone have a look on the website and check them out on sort of Instagram and Twitter and things. How do you get around that? How do you manage to sort of make sure that you're giving people opportunities but not setting people up to fail?
So when we decided to do this, we thought about the process, and we wanted it to be open and transparent as far as possible. We knew we had two very talented artists in the project, but we wanted to have more. So we actually took an advert out in the Big Issue and designed an advert and let people apply. We sent information to all the day centres north of the River Thames because we wanted to reach out, but we knew we couldn't reach everybody. And we invited people to apply. They could fill in an application form. They could do it via a video if they, you know, they didn't want to do it in writing, but they had to send us their material. And then we got an artist, a formerly homeless artist, David Tovey, who's from Arts International Homelessness, to come and judge what he thought would work with other people and what we thought could be commercial. So we went through a process, and we deliberately said to people, there is an application process. By submitting your work, it doesn't guarantee that we will take you on, because it has to work for us, because we're taking all the risk. And if we're buying product artwork that's not going to sell, we're actually going to lose money, and that's not the purpose of the exercise. So we have said to people, we love your work, but it's not for us. And we'll continue to say that in the future if we need to, but we want to be as fair and transparent as we can be at the same time.
Brilliant, thank you. I know that's an area that a lot of charities struggle with when they're, you know, I think as a social enterprise, it's slightly different. But when you are founded as a charity and are moving into that space, it could be quite a difficult process to have and conversations to have as well. So that's great to hear how kind of thoughtful your approach was.
So focus on the product is important to you, Mark. Is that right? Is that, you know, would that be one of the things you would share with another social enterprise starting out around actually... you really need to focus on that quality and remember you're trying to generate a product that you can sell.
Yes. You know, so I'm jumping now back to South Africa, where it was in 2007 and where the kind of inspiration came from. When I was there, I had a mentor who was an amazing woman who sourced all sorts of crafts and homemade products from across South Africa and probably into other countries in around South Africa. And she had this shop where it was called Peace, and she sold only the best. It was only the best that would get into her shop. And she had customers like Elton John and other people who would buy her work. And she says that's about valuing the person. If I sell tat, I'm not valuing that person. I'm just selling their rubbish and it doesn't make them feel good. So she's tried to ensure that her products are of the best quality. And we don't want to be a mass manufacturer of something that's a bit naff. We'd rather sell less, but something that's really high-end quality that people want to buy because it's good, not because it's come from a social enterprise necessarily or supports a charity, but they can see the value and the creativity and the work that they value, the work that the artists have put into it.
Yeah, I think it's so important, isn't it? So many enterprises sort of go, yeah, people will buy from us because we're social and because we help homeless people and all of that stuff. And actually, yeah, always challenge that, because actually you've got to have a product that stands, that is sellable, that can stand, yeah, stand alone as a really good quality product or service, whatever it is you're selling. Yeah, it's just nice when sometimes some of the stuff I say is confirmed by people that are doing it. So what does the future look like, Michael, for Homeless Made? Yeah, what's your future plans? Because clearly you've made it work this far.
So, I mean, it's really taken off in kind of the autumn and winter of 2022 and kind of into 2023. And I think where we're heading is that we've had quite a lot of exhibitions. We're getting support from a lot of companies who want to host us. We actually started turning down opportunities to run stalls in companies because we simply didn't have the resources to do all the ones that we were offered. But we also want to do the higher ticket items. So one of the things I learned when we were on the Enterprise Development Programme was that actually, if you have a whole range of products, what you really want to focus on is those that give you a higher return, a higher margin. So we're looking at things like, well, we're going to trial it in May. We've got Guan leading three workshops around art, two in Mental Health Awareness Week, one in June, four companies which will pay for us to go in and run that for their staff team. And if that works, and we think it will, then we might start using the project here. So we'd like to run art classes in our garden, package it up with an opportunity for people to come, meet us, see what we do. We'll give them a sausage and chips dinner or something like that. And we'll charge them £50. And at the end of it, they can go home with a hand-painted canvas by themselves, which reflects who they are. And if we can get 10 people at a time, which we think we can easily do by reaching out to corporates or to putting it on as an Airbnb experience and run two of those on a Saturday, that's an easy £1,000 to make. So we're looking at ways in which we can do things differently. We are also working, we've had some contact with people who make programs for Sky Arts and Portrait of the Year and Landscaper of the Year. And we're seeing what we can do in terms of how we can get those bigger ticket items through auctions and art sales and so on. So hopefully we can develop that. What we might also do is go back to renting out some of our spaces, because now COVID's gone away and we're all living back as normal. Then we're hoping to, we've got some interior designers who are going to come into Barons Court, redo our spaces free, all the work, the fittings, all the furnishings for free. And then we might be able to bring in some people to rent spaces, because the rooms are a whole lot nicer, and build up community in that way too.
Wow, it's just a few things then.
Yeah, a few things to keep me occupied, yeah.
I love how you've been working for so long to try and involve the garden in some way.
So we had the garden landscape. We had a landscape gardener who does Chelsea Flower Show, and he came in and did a whole design for it and then said, we'll do all the work for free. All you need to pay for is the materials. And he sent me the design and I thought, oh, this looks incredible. And then I looked at the cost of it and it was £10,000 to do to pay for the materials and the planting and everything else. And I went back, I don't think I can get £10,000 for the garden right now. However, his friend started raising money for it. So the first tranche was covered, which is about actually only about 3,000 or 4,000. We got that money back, and we've now got a national lottery grant so that we'll cover the rest of it. So then the garden will be an amazing space. It will be the best garden in West London, or certainly on the Talgarth Road anyway. And we will be able to use that because we use it as a room, an extra room all year round, because outside space is so important for good mental health. So rain, shine, snow, wind, whatever, we're using the garden, we're out in the garden, and we can offer that as a resource to people who don't have gardens in the community, lots of people who don't have gardens, and events and other things. So we will be able to make use of that. And it comes back to the whole, you know, rainbow tree and our tree, and the fact that new life springs up through the earth and outside space. So we'll weave that in somehow.
Awesome. I love that.
I feel so uplifted, Michael, by just chatting to you just in half an hour. I feel very encouraged. Is that something that happens for the people that you support? Do you find that because of your enthusiasm and positivity for everything, do you feel like that's one of the assets that you've got that's enabled Homeless Made to work?
I think when I was thinking about, you know, the questions and the advice for maybe for people who are starting out, I put down, believe in your product and offer and be passionate about it. And if you do believe in what you're doing and what you're offering and you've got that passion, then actually it will work. It might not make millions and millions, but it will work, and it may have those unintended consequences that are actually possibly more value than the income. But, you know, it will work. It will change, and it will change you. It will change other people, and it will enable change in the wider community. So, give it a go. I would say give it a go. And if it doesn't work, just stop it and move on to something else. Have another idea. And try that, because then you'll find out what does work. And there's no shame in stopping doing something and moving on to the next thing.
I couldn't agree with you more. I think, Michael, as well, one of the things that I think is so unique about you is that you're so resilient. When things haven't gone the right way, or, you know, you've had to sort of another challenge or, you know, red tape around it, you just go, oh, that's annoying, and then just get up and do, you know, you never get sort of bogged down or dwelling in the disappointment. You always come back with enthusiasm. I think it's a really inspirational quality.
Thank you. I have to tell you a story about also, but where I could be a bit better. So I think there's something about
absolutely being... we love those.
So I was in the Cubs, Murphy, and the motto of the Cubs and the Scouts is be prepared. I never went into the Scouts. It was too rough. So I went into the choir instead and sang. And I still carry on singing to this day. I won't sing now, I promise. But we were doing a radio show. So it was the BBC Vanessa Feltz radio show. And they contacted us and found out about us. I've no idea how. And said, would we go on the radio the next day and do a fight? I mean, I knew it'd be about a 5-minute slot. And I said, yeah, sure. So we were doing it from home, and it was before, like a week before Valentine's Day. So the whole idea was we talk about Homeless Made and cards for Valentine's Day and so on. And Guam was going to be on as well. And we'd got a kind of 9 o'clock slot. So I got up at my usual 8 o'clock and was padding around the flat and making a drink. And then I switched my phone on, and they brought the whole thing forward by 40 minutes. And I thought, I'm not even dressed. I haven't cleaned my teeth. And I've got 5 minutes now, and I'm going live on the radio. So I'm sat in my flat in my pyjamas, my dressing gown and my sheepskin slippers talking to Vanessa Feltz on the radio, thinking, thank God you can't see me, love. And the thing is, so that was like on Zoom. Fortunately, she couldn't see me. And I thought, oh, well, that's all right. So then I managed to get a gig on Premier Radio, but that she could see me. So I had a whole 45-minute slot with them, but we could actually see each other. So there's something about just being prepared, and I need to learn that lesson a little bit more.
Brilliant. A brilliant story. Michael, it's been so good to have you on the podcast today and to hear about all the work you've done. It's fantastic. Where can we find out about Homeless Made? Where can I buy the stuff from?
Well, firstly, thank you for having me on. It's been a joy to talk to you. And to all the listeners, please visit our website. It's homelessmade.co.uk. homelessmade.co.uk. We've actually put new cards on there today, so it's been refreshed. So go on, have a look, and see what we've got on offer. You won't be disappointed.
Thanks for listening. Please subscribe for more episodes or follow us on Twitter at thismuch_weknow or email us at thismuchweknow@homelesslink.org.uk.